Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Neil Payne, sports writer for 538, hopping on. Neil's got an article right now. We just talked about the business side of things, but I want to go into NBA questions that can never be answered, and it's up on 538 right now. So, Neil, your first question on there, and I'm going to definitely chime in on some of these. So, would the Bucks have won 70 games if we played out a full 82 game season? What do you think on that one?
It would have been unlikely. Like I say in the piece, they would have needed a 17-game winning streak at the end of the year to pull it off. Probably they would have taken it a little easy. They had a pretty big cushion over the second seed in the East, the Raptors. But they also had an 18-game win streak earlier in the season, so they were still in a position where they could have at least matched that famous Michael Jordan 95-96 Bulls record, and they had been playing at that level for most of the season. It was kind of a historic year, so we'll never get to know now. Most likely how they would have affected, you know, their push for that down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I don't think they would have hit it. And I think, you know, Giannis had missed, I think, three games in a row after that Lakers game. And you got to just imagine they would have been extremely cautious on what to do with Giannis. But I will say that, you know, as somebody that covers the Lakers, a fan of the Lakers, I felt like, okay, maybe there's some opportunity for the Lakers to go after the number one seed. So they could have been fighting for the number one overall seed because the Lakers were only about two games back after that loss to Brooklyn. Another one that you had was, would we have seen a legendary MVP battle between Giannis and LeBron down the stretch? What was your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think that based on the way the Lakers were playing, the way LeBron was playing at the time that play stopped, it seemed like he was mounting a late charge for the award. And people had kind of talked about Giannis as the favorite most of the year. A lot of that was because of how dominant Milwaukee had been the whole year. But I just would have loved to have seen what LeBron could have done to potentially do that, because he would have become one of, I think, only four players in history. He would have joined Kareem, MJ, and Bill Russell as the only players ever to win five MVPs in their career. And for Giannis, it's another kind of legacy thing, because he would have only become the third player with LeBron and Kareem to win multiple MVPs by the age of 25. So it would have been a really interesting MVP race down the stretch, I think, if LeBron had really kind of pushed Giannis.
Well, I'll say this too. I think there wasn't enough conversation about what LeBron was doing. So ESPN did a poll, and it was 70 media members. 60 of them pick Giannis as the MVP. And like you just mentioned, we'll probably never really get to know what would have played out. But I hated seeing that type of discrepancy. You know, LeBron, in my opinion, and maybe because I'm watching every single game, I know the impact he has on the Lakers. I know what happens when he comes out of games. I know his leadership, how he makes everybody on the court better. It's not to take anything away from Giannis. I know statistically Giannis was having an amazing season, but in the Western Conference, at his age, those kind of numbers, leading the NBA in assists, I don't feel like LeBron was getting the amount of love that he deserved or he should have been getting.
I kind of agree with you on that, especially when you look at sort of, like you mentioned, what happened to the team when he left the court. I think people have the perception that playing alongside Anthony Davis, it kind of would have diluted his MVP voting probably, and whereas Giannis is seen as like the lone star on that team. But if you look at the Lakers numbers with LeBron but no AD, the team is still playing really well, and that's been the story of the whole season, whereas otherwise, you know, with AD and no LeBron, it gets a lot worse. So I would have been tempted to vote for LeBron, and like I said, based on our metrics that we have, he actually is worth a little bit more wins above replacement than Giannis this season.
Neil Payne, sports writer for 538, has got an article right now. NBA questions that can never be answered, but we're answering them, Neil. Nothing to worry about. We got it. Everything's under control. Another one you had was, would Zion chase Ja Morant down for Rookie of the Year? What was your take on that?
Yeah, that's one of the most interesting ones because it was kind of assumed all year that Ja was going to win Rookie of the Year. He had been playing so well, and Memphis was in playoff position. But I think this is an especially interesting what-if because things would have probably turned a lot toward Zion's favor down the stretch of the season if you look at the schedule strength. The Pelicans were going to play a pretty easy schedule, whereas the Grizzlies were going to play the toughest schedule in the league, at least according to the ratings that we have for each team. And Zion was playing really, really well on a per minute or per possession basis. And so, you know, even though he had missed a lot of the season, he was kind of coming in and kind of carrying that team at the right time. So I don't think it would have been surprising at all to see, first of all, the Pelicans chase down the Grizzlies and grab that last playoff spot. And if that happens, you have to start talking about Zion as a legitimate candidate over Ja, despite Ja playing basically the whole season and Zion only playing like maybe a third of it, if that.
Well, and it's Laker fans too. You know, we were watching that race because that was going to be your matchup, right? Number one versus number eight. Who's it going to be? Which rookie are you going to get? And there could have been other teams that snuck in. Portland, you always kind of had an eye on just because this is a bunch of veterans that have been there before. So, you know, the Portland Trailblazers, I think Sacramento was even in the mix, but it was really the Pelicans and the Memphis Grizzlies and the Lakers, you know, kind of watching closely to see who would it be. That would have been a fun match. My only beef with Zion, like everybody else, not only was Ja Morant having an incredible season and doing such a fantastic job leading the Memphis Grizzlies right around 500, but leading them to a playoff spot, but Zion also missed so many games. So I always thought that worked against Zion, number one, and Ja Morant was having such a good year. What was you had another question up there. How would most puzzling teams finish? What did you mean by that? Are you referring to some of the Rocket? Like what teams were puzzling to you that you were curious about?
Yeah, the Rockets are one of the two ones. The other one is the Sixers as the teams that just couldn't really figure out how things were coming together for them. You know, the Rockets, it seemed at various times like they had no idea what to do with Russell Westbrook. Then they made that move to the extreme small ball, historically extreme small ball lineups, traded away Clint Capella, and they started playing great. And this looked like a team that really had kind of momentum going down the stretch. Now, they cooled off a little bit. Maybe teams were figuring out ways to counter that lineup. But we don't really know how that would have sustained going into the playoffs. And then at the same time, the Sixers were sort of the poster child for this team that has a lot of talent on paper. Again, questions about the fit. But at the same time, we've seen a lot of teams that fit that description sort of flip that switch down the stretch of the regular season with an eye toward the playoffs and then kind of ride that momentum once they get in. I think about those LeBron Cavs teams. They were the definition of teams that sort of wandered aimlessly through the regular season and then sort of flipped things on after the trade deadline going ahead to the playoffs. And so now I don't really know what the state of those teams will be if and when we even get to the playoffs. And so I think that was one of my what-ifs is just, what do we do with these teams that we couldn't really get a beat on? Because I feel like we have a pretty good handle on a lot of the other contenders, maybe all of the other contenders. We're talking about the Lakers, Clippers, even the Bucks. But these were the wild cards that we hadn't really quite figured out. And now maybe we won't get a chance to figure it out before the playoffs start.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, nobody does. And we'll see if we're... If we're fortunate enough to have playoffs, that means, you know, you feel confident that the country's got something and they have at least COVID-19, the virus, under control. And hopefully that's going to be the case for the entire world. But these are questions that I don't think will ever get answered. Hopefully down the road, we still get that opportunity to play some of these games. I know the NBA, from everything you've heard from Commissioner Adam Silver, Mark Cuban, that's been vocal. They are going to try to do everything in their power to have a season. We'll just have to wait and see if it happens. But, Neil, I appreciate you hopping on, kind of going over the business side of things and obviously these questions that we had. So great stuff. You could catch Neil Payne on 538. Neil, thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Great stuff from Neil right there. Okay. So this is a question that's going to come up. I'll open this up to LA out there. One of the questions that that Neil had in his article is, we're never going to really know what would have happened with LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo, something I never understood during the season. Why wasn't LeBron getting more love for MVP? Like, what was I missing? Somebody help me understand this. LeBron was having an unbelievable season. The Lakers had the best record in the Western Conference, and it felt like all the chatter in the conversation was always with Giannis. What was I missing? Why wasn't LeBron getting more love? Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. If you're out there on the road, you want to be a part of the show. If you've never called into a sports station before, call in tonight. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. So trying to figure this one out, and we appreciate everybody tuning in, by the way. Neil Payne, sports writer for 538, so he brought up all these questions. Good to have him on. But one of the questions was – one of the questions specifically was on we're never going to get an opportunity to see whether LeBron James, Giannis, what that run was going to look like, that run towards MVP. And let me be the first to say, I have learned from the great Michael Thompson, who cares about regular season MVPs? The only MVP that you want is in the finals. So I get all that. The one thing I had trouble understanding, and it came up in that last segment that we were in, why wasn't LeBron getting more love for MVP? Like, why was this unanimous? Oh, it's going to be Giannis. No question about it. Why? Like, what was I missing that LeBron James this season, was it more in the conversation? They had 70 votes. They talked about 70 votes, just the panelists of some different journalists, and they said 60 of them went to Giannis. What were they watching that I wasn't? And I know, okay, can I have a bias towards things? Of course I can. But I'm completely fine with saying, okay, Giannis is having a better season. All good, Giannis is having a better season. But 60 of 70 votes go to Giannis? I don't understand. This is one of the things that just kind of as the season played out and LeBron James, as productive as he was for the Lakers, in the Western Conference, leading the NBA in assists, the control of the game on a night-in, night-out basis. How do 60 of 70 of the votes go to LeBron? Fine, give it to Giannis. But the disparity made absolutely no sense to me. I was going to kind of go away from this, but the conversation came back up again. Magic was on First Take last week, and this was brought up with Stephen A. Smith, Molly Karam, Max Kellerman, and this was one of the conversations amongst a number of different things. Here was Magic's take on LeBron's MVP caliber season.
I will say LeBron is just like Larry and myself, and he is so unbelievable. When he's coming down that court, his head is up. He's always willing to make the pass to make his teammates better, but also too, he can go down the middle and dunk on you. And you know, he's added something to his game. He reinvented himself this season because he was posting more. He was taking those guards down or forwards down low and punishing them in the post. And I really enjoyed seeing him just reinvent himself. That's why he's having this outstanding season, an MVP-type season.
All right, that's Magic right there. And Magic actually, continued. He went on in his conversation and he said that there's a laundry list of reasons why he thought Magic thought LeBron was the most valuable player this year. I threw out the question on Twitter, how come LeBron wasn't getting more love for MVP? Made no sense to me. Blake Harris, he's got a reason for it. Blake Harris on Twitter says, because Anthony Davis was having an almost MVP season also, and maybe also because Giannis' stats are unbelievably ridiculous too. So I think Blake is telling me that I'm wrong and he's right. I don't care if Giannis gets it. I really don't. But at the end of the day, it's like it should not be that far of a disparity between these two stars. You know what else that we were hitting on, the questions that will never be answered? I was curious about that 8 seed, and I don't know what's going to eventually happen, but I was incredibly curious about what's going to happen with that 8 seed. I mean, when the season was playing out and we're watching every single game, I do the post-game show, I do some YouTube after that, and we're always looking, how's Memphis doing? Are we going to play Zion, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Jrue Holiday all in the first round? Are they going to eventually get past the Memphis Grizzlies? And you could keep going down that list. Portland Trailblazers, Sacramento was kind of in the mix. That race for the number 8 seed, well, I think there was a lot of curiosity right there. And then from a Laker perspective, these are all things questions that will never be answered. Would the Lakers track down the Milwaukee Bucks? The Bucks had, I think, a 2.5-game lead on the Lakers. We lost to Brooklyn 3 weeks ago, by the way. 3 weeks ago today is when the season got canceled. It was probably right around this time. The Rudy Gobert thing went down, and the season was canceled. But before that, this was our conversation. Our conversations were, do we got a chance to catch the Milwaukee Bucks for the number one record in the NBA? Will we have that opportunity? And those are the things that, you know, as the season plays out, you're looking at all those different storylines. Now, let's just say things have completely changed. And the only conversation, I mean, I can't tell you guys how often, you know, I'm on Twitter and following whether it's a news subject or even sports subjects. When Woj comes on, I'm curious what Woj is going to say. I'm curious about Woj's conversation. I'm curious about if Brian Windhorst is going to have any updates on the Chinese Basketball Association. I mean, all of it has completely changed. But I will say this about the NBA, and we learned some interesting stuff from 538 there that just explained from a business perspective how much the impact and the losses are having an effect on the NBA and some of these other sports, which makes me think. And I know Ireland has said it 100 times, as has Mason, every time we do crosstalk. The NBA is going to do everything in their power to try and get a season. And they'll come up with some type of ideas if the ability is there, right? Like if that opportunity is there and they get that opportunity, they're going to do it. And who cares if it leaks into free agency, if it leaks into next season? I honestly don't believe anybody cares as long as we get to a season. Okay, we got halftime coming up next. Jesse Curtis, you guys there? Where's everybody? Where's everybody? We got everybody? Jess, you there?
Maybe.
Jess, we got any games coming up? You got any games? You got any competitive games coming up for me and Curtis?
No games today. Just reactions, question. The games are coming. It was too much board games talk yesterday. I had to kind of let go before I went kind of game crazy.
Yeah, you're still fully defeated.
Okay, and the only reason, the only reason why I say that is because I'm 0-2 against Curtis so far. So I'm keeping a stat line. Okay, before we get to halftime, I got a game too. So I want both of you guys to be prepared. It's an interesting time in sports. We're gonna kind of test out. Actually, you know what? Let me tease it. Halftime coming up next. Jesse and Curtis are going to hop on. Stay right here. This is the Sleeve. All right, so 710 ESPN wants to spotlight and give a shout-out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. You can nominate a classmate, friend, or yourself. Here's how you can do it. Email us, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. So ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. That's our email. Provide your first and last name, city, school, and sport. Or post a short video of yourself or a classmate on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710SeniorShoutout. Each one of our shows, including the Sliwa Show, will highlight one of these seniors every day next week. Be sure to listen to hear your senior on 710 ESPN. Kind of a cool promotion, fellas. Jesse and Curtis hopping in right now. We kind of forget, and I'll bring on Erica Sonnenheimer, writer for the LA Times, who's covered high school sports for 40 years in Southern California. We'll bring him on at 8:30. But you forget, like, Jess, think about this. These are kids. One of our coworkers, I don't know how well you know Mark on the business side, his son's a senior baseball player and doesn't get a chance to, you know, kind of play out. How about prom? Like, how about some of these things? I know these are small things, but in the big scheme of it, when you're just kind of thinking about yourself in that high school moment, these are cool moments that you're going to miss out on.
Oh, definitely. I mean, these are the moments that you kind of remember when you think about high school. You know, I remember going to my prom. I remember all the stuff I did in high school, my senior year, how fun my senior year of high school was. And to think that that just got taken away from them, it sucks. It's terrible. My nephew is in high school. You know, luckily he's a junior, so, you know, he still has next year to, you know, be a senior and have fun and everything. But still, like,
sure, and have if he that.
Yeah, if he were a senior, I'd be devastated for him just because, you know, it's – you're not going to get that time back, you know, especially that those last couple years of high school. those are you're really going to have like fun in school. You really get attached to your friends. You find out kind of more or less who your true friends are. I still talk to my one best friend in high school. He's still my best friend. No, I talked to two of them. Two of my best friends in high school I still talk to this day.
You know, I have Curtis, I don't know where what high school was to you, but I know for me, man, that was some of my funnest years. And college and high school are so different, right? Like I felt like high school was much more innocent. College, I don't know what the hell was going on, right? Like,
but you said it. High school's innocent.
Exactly. Like it's
I don't
more
remember
of
much of my high school. I ditched a lot.
Curtis, come on, man. Come on, bro.
I'm being honest.
I
got better with college, but yeah, high school I ditched a lot.
I remember one time, this is what a rebel I was, right? Like such a rebel, right? I remember one time me and my buddy, there was a taco shop that's called Rita's Taco Shop, and it was like fantastic. Everybody in high school, like that's the taco shop that you went to. And one time we're like, man, we're going to ditch and we're going to leave high school at lunch. We're going to go grab a burrito. Come back, and we're supposed to like, I don't know where we're going to take the burrito. We're going to eat it on campus, whatever the case is. Narc is right there waiting for us. I threw my burrito out. I'm like, what the hell are you doing, Sliwa? You know what.
I was like the old.
If I'd have cut the burrito in half, I guarantee you that Narc would have been like, absolutely, here's carne asada burrito for you, carne asada burrito for me. Just didn't have it back then, guys.
Yeah,
didn't have it.
Oh, yeah.
I was older in my class, so I turned 18 halfway through my senior year, so I was the – You were able to be your own guardian at that point, so you could have like an off campus like thing. But I was doing this way beforehand because I had my truck and we would always go get burritos down the street. Also, so I don't blame you.
Well, Curtis, it's good to know, bro. You barely went to class, man. This we find out a lot
look
about
where
you
I am
here
now.
on the show,
the Sliwa show.
It's true.
I remember. Let's do my it. What here. Before going, I just want to tell one quick story about ditching.
Go for it.
I work with a bunch of delinquents around here. Senior ditch day at my school. I was one of the seniors who didn't ditch. And man, that day was boring.
That's awesome.
But
I respect later, it.
The few fellow seniors who were there, the like five that were there, I hung out with them all day. And then later we went to watch Taken that night. And it was amazing. So that's all I have to say.
That's awesome. I don't even remember senior ditch day. I don't even remember. I honestly can't remember that. I mean, this year is we're in 2020, so it's been 20 years. This would be my 20 year anniversary. I graduated in 2000. Not to be honest with you, I barely remember. Like I really do. But let's get into some of this halftime. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I'm a little mad with Mason because he actually stole the first thing that I wanted to talk about, which was Sam Jackson's PSA to stay the bleep at home. I thought that was just the best thing ever. And I mean, if there's any place, any person to say to me, stay the F at home, I think I would want it to be Samuel Jackson.
How good was that, by the way? Curtis, did you get a chance to hear it as well in the background? But you know what? Maybe – do you guys have it here?
I have it.
All right, let's play it. Let's get a chance to listen to it. Here's Samuel Jackson asking everybody in a very polite way to please stay at home.
Stay the f- at home. The Rona is spreading. The f- is no joke. It's no time to work or roam. The way you can fight it is simple, my friends. Just stay the f- at home. Now, technically, I'm not a doctor. But mother f- listen when I read a poem. So here I am, Sam f- Jackson, imploring you. Keep your ass at home. If you want things to get back to normal, don't panic. Just use your dome. Wash your hands. Stop touching your face. And stay the f- at home. Motherfucker, it's no time to gamble. Look around, you're not at a casino. Just stay the f- home as if your name was Trenton Quarantino. Sure, you can still see your friends. Use the mother f- app on your phone. But unless you just ran out of groceries, please stay the f- at home. Thank you for doing your part to flatten the curve, because that is steep. And now that you're home, please feel free to go the to sleep. The end.
Thank you, Samuel L. Jackson.
By the way, how many times did you feel like he was done with the song, but then he just kept going? Every time he paused.
Every time.
No.
I was waiting for
Your guys' what's your guys' favorite Samuel L. Jackson movie?
Oh, favorite man.
Favorite Samuel L. Jackson movie.
Oh, that's
I got one.
Third one. What's yours?
I would go Pulp Fiction.
You know what? That just kind of the first movie that comes to my head when you say Samuel L. Jackson is Pulp Fiction. And I think just because
just
of that,
classic,
you have
just
to
a classic.
That. Oh, Jules. Oh, now I'll go watch Pulp Fiction. I'm gonna go have it on in the background.
He didn't have as big of a role, but Django.
That's
great
what I was
going to
say.
He was
like a gem in that. That was so hilarious.
And there were so many good actors in that movie that sometimes you forget Samuel's role. You know, with Jamie Foxx, Leonardo DiCaprio. But that was another good role. That movie just overall was amazing. But I think for the type of role that he had, Pulp Fiction, best movie that he's done.
Oh, 100%. I think Django Unchained is definitely one of Tarantino's most underrated movies. Absolutely love that movie.
I agree. I remember walking out of that movie. I'm like, this might be not one of my favorites of all time, but like it was a memorable movie. That was I'll forget about that in 6 months. No. That's one of the better ones.
Oh, definitely.
My buddies and I quote that the most, I think, that movie. It was so hilarious.
Django! The J
is that's a great flick right there.
The KKK scene was hands down my favorite.
With the cameo from Jonah Hill, fantastic.
Yeah, when they're all riding the horses.
Mm-hmm. All right, so moving on. Alan, are you a Fast and the Furious fan?
How many are there? Like 14 of them?
Too many.
Around there.
No, honestly, there's like 9 or 10 or 8 or something.
There's
like that.
The ninth one is was supposed to come out this year, but because of COVID-19 and everything, it got pushed back to next year.
Let me tell you guys something. When I'm out on the roads, if somebody zooms by me, I got my hands on the 9 and the 10 and the 2. I'm supposed to have it on the 10 and 2 on the steering wheel.
I have mine on noon and then my other hand on the nitrous button.
I was never a big car guy. So like, I don't know anything about cars. I'm not one, and I never was into those movies. I like action movies, but it's too it's just too fake. You know what
Perfect.
I mean? And
I
know it took off and it did extremely well, but it was never my gig.
All good. I 100% get it. This is why I'm going to recommend Hobbs and Shaw to you, which is the spinoff from the French and the Fast and the Furious. Oh,
okay, I like it already.
So, I don't know. You probably haven't seen it. I saw it's on HBO now. I saw it last weekend. It is by far dumb, but some of the action in that
hilarious.
Is just the most outrageous action you'll ever see. And the chemistry between Dwayne Johnson and, oh my God, it's leaving me his name, Jason Statham. Jason Statham and Dwayne Johnson are unbelievable.
If you smell!
Yes.
By the way, real quick, you know where we're saying Samuel Jackson? Remember him and The Rock and the other guys?
Oh! Is it right? Hans they? Smith, Aim for the Bushes?
You know what I'm talking about? Do you remember that?
Oh, of course!
Their chemistry was great. That final scene where they're both like, you know, they jump off the building and like, I don't even know what they're doing, what they're thinking, and that's it. They just die right there.
Yeah, they just goes like, this is SEAL grade army wire. You think what I'm thinking? Jump for the bushes. And then you hear Foo Fighters.
God.
There goes my heat. Nope.
That's right. Okay, keep going where you're going. I threw you off right there. So you said Hobbs and Shaw?
Hobbs and Shaw. It's the first one. It's on HBO if you haven't checked it out. If you're just looking for something to watch past the time that makes no sense, that is definitely the movie to watch. And I only bring it up because it was announced that the sequel is already in development. And can you guess what the name of the movie is going to be?
What's it going to be?
Two Hobbs, Two Shaw.
That's all you need. Yeah, that's all you need. That's as simple as that. No, that
whoever wrote that name
is
a genius.
Of course they are. I could see that being a solid one.
Of course. And of course, today is April 1st, which means that was an April Fool's joke. There is no title. It's just in development. Dwayne The Rock Johnson announced it while on IG Live the other day. So I just wanted to bring that up.
They should roll with what you just suggested. They should just roll with what you suggested. Let's keep rolling.
It's a playoff to Fast and Furious, the actual second movie in the Fast and Furious franchise. Mm. So moving on, last week, Ali, you know who Joe Buck is. He's a notorious Dodger hater, Joe Buck. He challenged some of his fans to send him.
I thought Smoltz was the Dodger hater. I feel like in the playoffs, everybody says Smoltz is the Dodger hater.
He's another one, but Joe Buck is the primary Dodger hater.
Yeah, Smoltz isn't that bad anymore.
Okay.
Along with Jeff Van Gundy every time they face the Lakers. But Joe Buck asked the fans around the world on Twitter to send him video clips, and people actually sent him a bunch of stuff. He called everything from backyard football, kids playing football, to marble races, to even Mina Kimes' dog making an appearance to play fetch. It was great, but it kind of brings me back to this question. Alan, if you could have anyone narrate your life, who would it be?
Oh, come on. Chick Hearn, he's the greatest. I mean, I love Chick Hearn for me. You know, there's sometimes I'll watch Laker highlights, and it doesn't even matter what the highlight is. When you just hear Chick Hearn's voice, like, that's everything. I love Chick Hearn. I mean, Chick Hearn's not just, you know, an idol, but that's kind of when you were a kid why you wanted to, hey, can I potentially get into sports talk radio, or you had aspirations to do it? That's what Chick Hearn was to me. Chick Hearn was, you know, by far my favorite, and his voice changes everything for me. When I see old Laker games and it's chicken stew on the call, it takes it to another level. So for me, it's Chick Hearn.
Without a doubt, I like that. See, for me, I would choose out of a tough choice. Oh, what's up, Curtis?
I was gonna say this answer is easy. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Oh. What do you got, Curtis? Who would you narrate your life?
Morgan Freeman.
Nah, see, that's on the nose.
No, but that's a good one, too.
But that's the go-to. That's what everyone says. That's why I got to think outside the box. I would have Jeff Bridges narrating my life.
Bridges is a great one, too.
Jeff Bridges. Uh-huh.
I was just going to say Bridges – and as long as he's playing the dude from Big Lebowski, it's got to make sure it's that role too. He's talking only in that role.
That's why he's going to drink. Now he's going to have a nonstop. I lost the name of that drink. What's the Caucasian? He's going to have a nonstop Caucasian in his hand. And every time he finishes a sentence, you're just going to hear him take a sip and like, yeah, man, there he is. Just working on milk, the show.
Him in that milk mustache. Walking around the grocery store with his robe and his slippers.
Writing a check for a dollar something of milk.
That's right. All right, so, I got one for you guys. Let me give you guys one real quick here, okay?
Let's go. Let's do it.
All right, so NBA season is completely stopped right now. And I keep hearing LeBron last week on Road Tripping. So LeBron is sitting there and he's saying that this is when you're going to find out so much about these players, right? What players are committed and what players that you don't feel like are committed or maybe aren't taking advantage of this time to get in better shape, whatever the case is. So I have six NBA players listed right here. When I say their name, you tell me if they're watching TV right now or if they're working out, okay?
And, all right, let's go.
I'm going to start. Curtis, you go first. You go second, Jesse. James Harden, what do you think, Curtis? Is James Harden taking time right now to work out, or is James Harden just chilling watching TV?
I don't think he's working out. I see him on Twitter all the time. I think he's chilling at home. Or before this lockdown, he was chilling somewhere else, but I think he's stuck at home now.
I think Harden has this like NBA body that in 10 years after he's done playing, it's definitely not going to look like an NBA body. What do you think, Jess? Watching TV or chilling?
I think he's at home playing 2K. James Harden's the kind of player I see who has like a troll account on like PS PlayStation Network on the Xbox Live Network. He's out there just scrolling people on 2K and just like, y'all don't even know it's me. He's getting ready for that 2K. Okay,
how about Kawhi? What's Kawhi doing right now? Working out or watching TV?
Why is making a sandwich?
And then
analyzing how amazing that sandwich is. That sounds like a very Kawhi thing to do. I don't think
Kawhi left the gym for 3 weeks. I think he's still been in the gym the entire time. What do you think? He's working out or he's watching TV?
No, I think Kawhi is in the gym, whether it's, you know, somewhere or at home. He's definitely working on getting those shots in. But then, you know, he has to take every half hour off.
Exactly. He's chilling.
So just, you know, he has to load back.
What do you think Zion's doing right now?
Oh, Zion is straight chilling.
I'll say he's working out just because everyone gave him crap all year.
Oh, no, nah, mm-hmm. He's chilling.
And he's probably bored out of his mind.
I think he's bored, but I think he's chilling. I mean, he's...
Zion's 100% laying on the couch right now watching a movie.
Oh, yeah. I'll be watching Pulp Fiction.
What do you think AD's doing right now?
Ooh.
AD's working out.
That's a tough one.
AD's
working out. We're trying to win a championship. Anthony Davis knows what's at stake here.
He does, but he also knows that, you know, you got to be able to let loose, which is why, you know, he's all in during the season, but right now we're on a break. I'm not saying he's not working out, but he's definitely, you know, taking this time to make sure that his body is just getting time to refresh, rejuvenate, because when that NBA season comes back, oh, you definitely believe he's going to go ham.
AD's in the gym. Draymond, last one. Draymond Green, what do you think he's doing right now? Think he's working out?
Are you kidding me?
100% no.
He's on the couch, and the refs already gave him a technical for not doing enough.
Draymond is chilling. All right, that's all I got on those. You got
he's
another
probably
one,
yelling
Jess?
At the TV.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I got one more for you, Alan. Since it is April 1st, April Fool's Day, Alan, do you have any kind of memory from April Fool's Day? A funny joke that you actually caught up on, like Mace got fooled into thinking he actually won that contest last year as the best ESPN or 710 ESPN host. And of course, we all knew Michael was going to win that.
One time at my, I think this was April Fool's, one time at my old job. So I worked at a sports radio station in San Diego over 10 years ago before I came up to 710 ESPN. And I remember one time I got a call from one of a high level, it was a small company. So, you know, there was executives that we worked with on a day-to-day basis. One of the executives called and said they had gone on a trip. One of our clients had gone on a trip overseas somewhere. And they said that when they were overseas, that my client was stealing things from whatever stores that they were going to. Okay. Oh. So I'm sitting there like, and here I am talking to like one of the VPs. I'm like, excuse me, what happened? You know, this was, and I knew the client very well. I'm like, this doesn't sound like him. Like, I didn't know what the heck to say. They just had me going for a good maybe 10 minutes. I think they had the phone on speaker. And then they're like, hey, we're just screwing with you. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Why are you guys playing with my emotions like that? So that's one that stands out to me.
That's nice. Yeah, my mom actually got me one time into thinking she lost her job. And she went with it for like almost the full day. And like, you know, well, mijo, we'll be fine. No, don't worry. This and that. To the very end, she's just like towards the end of the day, she just like starts laughing. I'm like, what? She's like, April Fool's. And I walked to my room. I'm like, no, I can't do this anymore with you, Mom. I'm done. I'm out.
Hey, if mom gets you, then nothing you can do about that. You got to just take the L on that one. You got
to
take
That's
the
why
L.
I walked to my room and just closed my door and started playing video games. Whatever, Mom.
I don't blame you at all. I don't blame you. By the way, it is kind of funny on Twitter. There's a lot of different a lot of different pranks that people play, whatever the case is. I enjoy watching other people get pranked, and I enjoy not getting pranked myself. So I think it worked out good.
100%. But that's all I got for you, Alan, until tomorrow.
All right, fellas. Good stuff right there. All right, let's do this. Eric Sunheimer, who's the writer for the LA Times, covering high school sports, like I mentioned, since 1976 here in SoCal. I wanted to kind of get his thoughts. He interviewed Dr. Andrew Yellen, who for 36 years as a Granada Hills-based sports psychologist. Where are some of these young high school athletes kind of, where are they mentally at a time like this? And also for some of the parents, how to deal with some of the high school athletes. We'll talk to him. We'll get his thoughts on that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. We got Eric Sodheimer, writer for the LA Times, covering high school sports right here in Southern California since 1976. Eric, appreciate you hopping on the show.
My pleasure.
Well, I thought, you know, you had an interesting article out. You got a chance to interview Dr. Andrew Yellen, who's for 36 years at Granada Hills, based in that area, a sports psychologist. And here we are with no sports. So I figure, I'm sure you got some great advice and some great information from him, and maybe you can share some of that advice to us and some of the 710 listeners. So I appreciate you dropping on.
Well, I've known him for so many years, and I was actually sleeping, and it popped in my head, who can help us all get through this? And Dr. Andrew Yellen, a sports psychologist, I needed him just to help me get through this for the next 2 months without sports. And but he made some good observations on how parents, moms and dads, are now together with their teenage sons and daughters. And that has a possibility of being difficult because they're spending 24 hours a day with each other, not just at dinner time or night time. And so he made a really good point that these kids are home, they're doing some online studying, and the parents have to give them some space. They cannot be watching over them every minute of every day, even though they're there together. And I think it's a really good point because I also talked to recently a baseball player out at Simi Valley who's home all the time with his mom now, who's working. And he said, oh, he loves his mom, but he's had just about enough. That's only after 2 weeks. So the parents really have to be careful. They want to, he suggested, yes, maintain a schedule for everybody involved, but allow them to go off to their room or to go out and practice or work out on their own with the social distancing. And, yeah, it's great to have walks. I think everybody agrees that we're doing things we've never done before. We have all this spare time, and we need to find some positive things.
Well, Eric, and I'll kind of set the stage here because the advice, it sounds like, Dr. Andrew Yellen was giving was these are parents who are at home. All of a sudden, obviously, they're with their kids, their high school kids, athletes that are playing high school sports. Just use that as an example. And then all of a sudden, that schedule, that busy schedule where people really are only seeing each other in the morning and in the evening, that obviously has changed. So the recommendation is for parents with teenage adults, you can say, you know, right, obviously in athletics, of what some of the different ways to kind of use the time, like you mentioned, giving them space. And do you feel like a conversation like that, if we have parents around that are listening, what are some of the, you think, major bullet points that came out of that interview?
Well, the other thing is that the parents need to find other things to do than just being concerned about their sport, their kids' sports experience. Because we know that lots of parents like to go out, and part of their great life is cheering on their sons and daughters and hoping they get a scholarship. And that's a big part of their life. But now there is no sports. So he suggested everybody needs to take a moment and find something new with this free time. Because you're getting, just take an hour each day, and we're talking about 5 hours a week for who knows how long. Mm-hmm. You should maybe start learning a foreign language, invent a new game.
Find different hobbies.
Yeah, find different hobbies. Learn how to play the guitar. There's lots of things you could do other than just having to worry about no sports. So we're all in that situation trying to find some things to do other than just watching the news. If you watch too much news, you're going to get a little bit depressed because right now we have no answers. We're all in a holding pattern here. And so I think also the big thing for the high school kids is they have to stay involved in preparation for the day that sports return. And right now, a lot of these kids don't like to go out and work without the coach yelling at them to get to work. And so they're on their own, really on their own. And come fall, especially for like football season, we're going to find out who's really been working hard and who was taking it too easy. Because you're going to be exposed. There are no weight rooms open. There are no 24-hour fitness centers open. You're on your own in your garage, your room. You're lifting water. You're lifting something. You're doing push-ups, sit-ups. You got to stay active. And for me, as a sports writer, I'm walking an hour to an hour and a half every day, something I've never had time to do or really wanted to do, but I feel so much better after that exercise. So I'm hoping everybody gets involved and the parents can go and participate in that exercise with the kids and actually talk to them.
Eric Sonheimer, he's a writer for the LA Times, covering high school sports since 1976. Had a chance to interview Dr. Andrew Yellen, 36 years as a Granada Hills-based sports psychologist, offering some of the wisdom that he got from Dr. Andrew Yellen. How about his recommendation for the coaches, some of those high school coaches? It's going to be completely different when athletes eventually do come back. And what is some of his recommendations for the coaches?
Right. His big thing is that coaches have to take advantage of the team situation and all the pluses about having a team, and that everything needs to be done as a team. Right now, everybody is not connected. They need to get connected. The big thing that's happening now in schools is the use of video conferencing through such an app as Zoom. It's pretty easy. I never done it until the last week, and you can put as many as 100 people on that Zoom contest. You can teach them fundamentals on, give them a clinic, or more importantly, just be in contact with them and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Each individual should probably have their own workout schedule, and the coach can be there to help them on, and you get to see if they're staying involved. You get to see on these Zoom calls who's actually on the call and what they look like. You can tell if their arms are not very fat. You can tell who's not been doing what. And so stay involved with those athletes through the teleconference as a way to get over the social distancing, but from afar. And so I think that's a really important thing that he points out. And it's going to become even more important because they pretty much announced that schools are not going to reopen here in California till the next school year. So we're talking about these gyms and fitness centers aren't even going to be open till maybe June at the earliest. So really, it's going to be up to that coach to somehow stay connected with everybody and the returning players. I mean, I don't know what is going to happen with the other people that you need to add to your team, the incoming freshmen or ones that might want to play a fall sport, football, cross country. The spring sports season is done, basically, in my opinion, and that should become official on Friday.
Eric, it's fascinating. It's interesting because I never really looked at it from this angle, and obviously we're all without sports right now, but you're looking at it from a parent perspective. What are they doing with their athletes, their high school athletes, men, women, boys, girls, whatever the case is, but it's an interesting outlook to take. So I appreciate you hopping on. You can read Eric's full article on the LA Times, in the LA Times. He interviews Dr. Andrew Yellen, and just kind of gives a different perspective. So I appreciate you hopping on the show, Eric.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. That's Eric Sonheimer right there. You know, what I think makes this fascinating, by the way, I'm going to use this time. This is a perfect time. We're going to start this promotion on 710 ESPN. So we want to spotlight and give a shout out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. You can nominate a classmate, friend, or yourself. Here's how you can do it. Email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com and provide your first and last name, your city, your school, and your sport, or post a short video of yourself or a classmate on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710SeniorShoutout. So just use hashtag 710SeniorShoutout. Each of our shows will highlight one senior, one of these seniors every day next week. Be sure to listen to hear your senior on 710 ESPN. So I'm excited to do this. I think this is a really good idea by the station to do something a little bit different. And, you know, I don't look at it this way. When I saw the article, I thought, okay, this is a little bit different. It's a little bit unique. I wasn't thinking of those parents who have, you know, their kids who are playing high school basketball. By the way, I work with a couple of these, with a couple colleagues where, you know, they have kids that are in high school right now. They're playing athletics, and then boom, everything just stopped. One of my coworkers, his son is a senior. He's playing baseball. That had to stop. That's it. It's over. They don't get a chance to make it up. But the psychology part of it is you go from a time where you're not spending – you're spending time with your family in the morning. You're spending it at night. Now, all of a sudden, you got parents working at home. You have all these high school students who now have to try and continue their curriculum, continue their school, continue their education. They're trying to do it from home. They're probably bored as hell. They can't go outside. They can't hang out with their friends. So it's a it's definitely a different perspective that I know for myself on a personal level, it's not something that I've looked at or I've paid attention to. So that's where I'm going now. We're going to start. We're going to start getting psychologists on the show. All right. We're going to uncover every rock to figure out these different angles from a sports perspective. But I appreciate Eric hopping on from the LA Times. All right, let's do this when we come back. We spent a lot of time talking about – I love that topic, by the way, the Lakers and the Dodgers, that if it was the Los Angeles Lakers, it would never happen in LA where they were off for 6 years being distributed all through LA. Of course that wouldn't happen. It's the Los Angeles Lakers. So we spent some time on that topic. I got a couple other notes that I want to hit on. Stay right here. We'll do that when we come back. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. We got something that I think we talked about, and I think was the big story for LA today. The big story for LA was the Dodgers TV blackout ends. That's it. So you're a Dodger fan. You're in Southern California. More importantly, you're in Los Angeles. You don't have to worry about Dodger games not being on anymore. And I know that was a seven-year battle where Dodger fans probably every – look, I could see it. Every season you kind of start have – you start being optimistic. Maybe this year. Maybe this year, and then it doesn't happen. And one of the things I did earlier in the show, and I think it's a fair argument to have, I got a lot of people on Twitter that were giving me their opinion. I don't think that happens with the Los Angeles Lakers. And it's nothing against the Dodgers, but I just feel like the Lakers, no. You're playing with fire if you're one of those networks out there. And fortunately, the Lakers haven't been in this position. I know when they did go with Spectrum, there was – maybe a couple games that was missed, and then all hell broke loose, and then eventually all the games were back on from a Los Angeles Laker perspective. But I really feel that way. I feel like it's different for the Los Angeles Lakers, and it's not that that Dodger fan base is not humongous. It is. And first of all, you know, I said this earlier in the show. I feel bad for Dodger fans that there might have been Dodger fans out there or bars out there that couldn't carry the Dodger games. And you missed unbelievable run over the last 6 years. You missed two World Series appearances. I know those games, eventually when you get into the postseason, they're all going to be on Fox and some of the other networks. But at the end of the day, it's kind of that regular season that makes the it makes the playoffs what it is, because you went through those ups and those downs. And it's also recognized that the Dodgers have not won a World Series since 1988. But damn, this Dodger team has been good. There are many franchises out there that don't have the amount of success that the Dodgers have had in the short run. And I know they don't have a World Series to show for it, but it's a well-run franchise. And when I kind of play those out and I look at the Los Angeles Lakers, can you imagine if the Lakers for 1 year wasn't distributed through Southern California? 1 year. Just 1 year. Impossible that would be the case for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I feel like these two franchises, as much as they dominate Southern California, as much as they dominate LA, there's a big difference there. There's a difference in the sense that one franchise, I don't believe, I feel like people would be picketing. I'd be picketing off. If I had a show, I'd be sitting there every single night. I'd be sitting there and complaining about where are my Lakers? Where are my Lakers? And fortunately, that wasn't the case. But also now, fortunately for the Dodgers, whenever we do get a season back, and it's going to take time. You know, there have been some articles out recently that try to play out, well, what is baseball going to do when the season comes back? How much time will they have to wait? I don't have that answer. Nobody has that answer. I think we all know and we all feel that there isn't going to be at least for the next 60, 90 days, impossible that there's going to be baseball, at least from, you know, that perspective of I always kind of look at it this way. We want fans, like we as fans want to just kind of start going back to what we feel like is normal. What's normal to us? What's normal to us is watching sports, going to games, enjoying Staples Center, enjoying Dodger Stadium. If you're a big SC fan, you want to get out to the Coliseum. Rose Bowl, we're all curious about SoFi Stadium. It's going to take a while, but at least in your own convenience at home, the Dodgers no longer have to worry about that. Dodger fans no longer have to worry about that. But it is it's disappointing. Like, I feel bad for Dodger fans. You guys know how passionate I am about Lakers basketball. I know there's a lot of Dodger fans. I like that about Dodgers baseball. I feel bad for them because they're the ones that really lost in this whole thing. If they didn't get a chance to listen to Vince Scully in his final years, right? If they didn't get a chance to watch Cody Bellinger come up and be the star like he is right now with the Dodgers, if they didn't get a chance to see Kershaw just dominate over the years, arguably the best pitcher in baseball, if they didn't get to see some of those times, you know, you lose those moments. And I know you could go back. You can always go back and watch games. But there's nothing better than when you're doing it live. There's nothing better than when you're watching it in the moment. Even now, like I go back. I don't know if their network is playing a lot of classic Dodger games, but you know, of course, Spectrum Sportsnet, they're playing Laker games. ESPN's playing some classic games. NFL Network, every big network that you go on to, that you go tune into right now, they're all playing those classic games. They're fun. They're great. But, you know, I can't bring back. I was talking about it on Monday. Sunday, I watched Shaq, the Lakers versus the Clippers for his 28th birthday back in May of 2000. It was great to rewatch that game. Okay, but that's nothing to do when you were watching that game live. And I feel like there's Dodger fans out there that missed some of those opportunities over the last 5, 6, 7 years. I had Trudell. Trudell hopped on Lakers Talk on Monday, and they were replaying Game 7, Lakers versus the Blazers in 2000 when Kobe crosses Pippen over, throws the lob to Shaq. Shaq dunks it. Lakers win the game. Everybody's going crazy. We know that, okay, Lakers were going to get their first championship with Kobe and Shaq. Like, there's certain moments that you just can't get back. And I thought that was the sad part for Dodger fans that are out there. And I know, you know, we don't want to look too back in the past. We should appreciate that now Dodger games are going to be played and everybody in Southern California will get a chance to watch them. But there's also a lot that was missed. And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say that that's incredibly disappointing for a Dodger fan base that it doesn't get more loyal than the Dodger fan base. At the end of the day, they are going to get some games back, or they are going to get a chance to watch games once the season starts. We just all have no idea when the season starts again. Okay, I got some updates. So Mark Cuban, a little bit earlier, he actually, I think, did a little tour there. He was on First Take. He was on Get Up. Brian Windhorst, I know he was on Get Up. They're talking about the NBA season coming up. Cuban on the safety of it all, but he's still optimistic that they will have a season before it's all said and done. I'll play some of those when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. I just have a great game plan when it comes to eating. I usually wait till after the show around 9 o'clock when you're not supposed to eat at all. Ireland was telling me on Crosstalk, I think we were doing it yesterday or maybe 2 days ago, and Ireland was saying that, you know, if you just didn't eat past 7 o'clock, that's all you have to worry about. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, losing confidence as the conversation's going. I'm like, yeah, that's probably not happening. I ate too late, guys. What are you going to do? I ate too late. Okay, so there were a couple good bits from or a couple of good sound bites from Mark Cuban. And Cuban, I've been overly trying to take a listen to because, you know, he's been extremely optimistic. And this is an owner that probably has incredible insight, that's having obviously conversation with other owners, having conversation with Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA. So why wouldn't you pay a lot of attention to Adam Silver, or I'm sorry, to Mark Cuban, and at least kind of get his thoughts? Now, I think he's been overly optimistic, but that's not based off of everything. And I'm sure Cuban wouldn't say some of the stuff that he's been saying unless he genuinely felt like they're still going to have an opportunity for a season. So here's Mark Cuban a little bit earlier today on Get Up, thinks that a season still definitely in play for the NBA.
No, I really think we'll have something. I really do. I don't know how, where, or when, but I do think we'll have a season. It's just too important to the United States of America. That's just it. We need sports. We need something to rally behind. We need teams to cheer for. We need to high five people, even if it's just our family and our homes. We just need it right now. And, you know, the NBA, we try to be so cool. We try to stay ahead of the curve. But we also have to be confident of, you know, setting the right example. So we won't do it till it's safe. But I really feel good that we'll do something.
All right, that's Mark Cuban right there. And look, I'll say this, and I know he's saying that they're going to do it safe, and safety is going to be first, and he obviously wants to do it for consumers out there. And listen, they want to do it for themselves as well. They're running a business. They want to make sure they get these games in, and there is still TV revenue. And don't get me wrong, I'm the first one in line. If they end up having the ability to have a season and the Lakers got a chance at a finals run, and I'm sure he cares for the Dallas Mavericks, for Luka and Porzingis to get some playoff experience playing together. Like there's obviously a lot of incentive to have a season. The safety first part that he mentioned, we don't know how they would do it. And I mentioned this, and I think this will continue to be a theme. I don't know what's going to happen, how they're going to do it. I will tell you that they can't get it wrong. Right. If you restart a season and you find out at some point during the season that somebody comes down with the virus, you know, with COVID-19, that's a wrap. I mean, you pretty much call the season from there, because what happens after that? That team can't play. You quarantine for 14 days. Whoever they were playing has to quarantine as well. You can't have a playoff run. But the optimism, of course, is important. You just got to. Hopefully they're in that position where when they do see the light at the end of the tunnel, that there's something real there. All right. And Mark Cuban talking about kind of how they can do it. He's talking Vegas. We've kind of heard this being thrown out a couple different times, talking about some of these casinos in Las Vegas.
Yeah, as long as the scientists bless it, absolutely. I'm game for anything that is safe, you know, and there may be circumstances where we can make it more safe for, you know, players and their families and the people who have essential personnel from an NBA perspective that have to be there. Why not? I would be all for it. Again, I'm not speaking for the NBA. I'm just saying, again, my underlying principle is sports are great for America. And if when we start to go from America 1.0, from where we've been, to coming out of this in America 2.0, I think it's a great opportunity, and it's a responsibility of the NBA to lead the way, Stephen. I mean, if we just have that obligation, just try to lift the spirits of America, and as long as it's safe, I think we should do it.
All right, that's Mark Cuban on First Take. So we go to Cuban to get kind of the owner perspective, and definitely, you know, Mark Cuban's not one to talk. He's going to voice his opinion. Let's put it that way. So that's Mark Cuban right there. As far as Windhorst goes, we know how great a job Brian Windhorst has done. Covers the NBA for ESPN. I've had him on the show a couple different times. But Windhorst on Get Up this morning says that there's some light at the end of the tunnel, and he's continuing to follow what's happening in China. Here's the latest on that front, because all the leagues are trying to see when the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association, gets things back up and running in China.
Well, as you can imagine, after we put out a report yesterday, because it wasn't really highly reported in China, there was a wave of interest from the players, especially the Western players, who wanted to know what was going to happen, especially those players sitting in quarantine. And Yao Ming, who runs that league, and other people in his office have said to them, we're going to play. Stick with us, trust us, get through this period here. We're going to work with the government, we're going to play. So I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I will say this, Greeny, we're going to go through a couple of very difficult weeks as a country here, I think. But I do think that the groundwork is being laid here to make this happen. There is belief that we can get on the other side of this and we can begin to think about other things, even though at the moment, that's a challenge in our society.
All right, that's Brian Windhorst right there. It's a roller coaster here. It honestly is a roller coaster. You know, every day you're trying to get some kind of positive news. You're hoping that when you do go on the news, there's some positive stories. And, you know, when you look at it from a sports perspective, that's our job. You know, as much as this is secondary, but it's definitely my job to look and see, okay, what are some of the experts saying, or what are these sports analysts saying? And that's some positive feedback there from Windhorst and from Mark Cuban. And I think the NBA is something that we're all watching on the NBA. And I listen, I'm not here to tell you that Major League Baseball is not extremely important. It definitely is. I know there's Dodger fans everywhere. Actually, tomorrow, that's what we're going to do tomorrow. Tomorrow, as much as we're talking about the NBA season and what's the latest that it can start and what does it look like, tomorrow we'll do the same thing for baseball, because baseball is in a completely different circumstance. NBA, you almost had 80% of your season that's already been played. They are going to do everything they can to try and finish up the rest of the year. Baseball, you haven't played one game yet. So the circumstances are completely different when it comes to baseball. But we'll save that one tomorrow. Scott Boras had ideas. The player agent there, Jeff Passan, was reporting on some stuff. We'll save some of that stuff for tomorrow. But from an NBA front, we are at least continuing to get some kind of positive information, and we'll just kind of have to wait and see from there. Quick reminder, tomorrow morning, Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ, they start back up at 6 a.m. Sedano will follow from 10 a.m. to noon. Will Cain Show after that, and then Mason and Ireland, I'll follow them. We always start crosstalk. Every single day we start crosstalk at 6 o'clock. Or 5:55, I think, is the exact time. And then I'll hop on at 6:30 and go till 9 o'clock. So if you missed any part of this show or you've missed any of our shows, you can download the Sliwa show. It's still on our Lakers Talk channel there on the ESPN app or on iTunes. So just type up Lakers Talk and you'll get every show that we've been doing this entire week. Thank you to Jesse. Thank you to Curtis. LA, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. And we'll get back at you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your night.